Radio News Update.
The government doesn't believe the travel disruption at UK airports was caused by a cybersecurity incident, but there will be an independent review. Hundreds of flights have been cancelled after a technical glitch meant flight plans had to be input manually by controllers. Nadine Dorries has formally quit as an MP after the Treasury confirmed Chancellor Jeremy Hunt has appointed her to be steward and bailiff of the 300s of Chiltern, the archaic mechanism for quitting the Commons. It comes after the former Culture Secretary finally handed in her resignation over the weekend. London is now the world's largest pollution charging area after the ultra-low emission zone was expanded to include the whole of the capital. People who drive in the zone in a vehicle which doesn't meet minimum emission standards are now required to pay a £12.50 daily fee. And hundreds of NHS patients are to get swifter treatment thanks to the approval of a cancer jab. Atezolizumab is usually given to patients via a drip, but now many patients in England are to be given the immunotherapy via an injection. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Alex Dunn.
Radio Works.
A whistleblower has revealed how energy companies incentivize brokers to lock small businesses, churches, care homes and charities into expensive energy deals. Jermaine Bennett, a former energy broker, explains.
In my vast experience in the energy market, I have seen brokers target churches, charities and community centres and put maximum secret commissions on top of the contracts. If you need to know more, go to energylitigation.com and you could be due some compensation.
Adele interrupted a show during her Las Vegas residency to help a fan she thought was being bothered by security guards. The singer was in the middle of her Weekends with Adele show at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace when she stopped in the middle of a song to come to the fan's aid. Her actions to come to the defence of her fan follow in the footsteps of Taylor Swift, who came to the aid of a fan during her Eras tour. Dancing with the Stars professional Derek Hough has described his wedding to Hayley Herbert as a fairy tale. The dancer tied the knot with his co-star in a redwood forest before a party at a cliffside estate in Carmel in California. Hough's best man was fellow Dancing with the Stars professional Mark Ballas, who is the son of Strictly Come Dancing judge Shirley Ballas, while his dancer sister Julianne Hough served as a bridesmaid. And Joel Dommett says that making sure his script for the National Television Awards pokes fun whilst also steering away from controversy is what he finds hardest about hosting the show. The comedian and TV presenter says he works on the script solidly for a month before the ceremony at the O2 in London. It takes place next Tuesday evening. Tottenham head coach Ange Postecoglou has confirmed Giovanni Lo Celso will feature in tonight's League Cup tie at Fulham, but the door appears closed on any Tanguy Ndombele comeback. Lo Celso and Ndombele both signed for Spurs in big money moves during the summer of 2019, but have spent the majority of the last 4 years out on loan. Sunderland captain Luke Owen has signed a new 3-year deal at the Stadium of Light. The Championship club also hold the option of a further year on the versatile defender or midfielder, who has made 225 appearances since arriving from Wickham in 2018. Fernando Alonso believes Max Verstappen's record equaling Formula One reign has been underestimated. Verstappen matched Sebastian Vettel's all-time streak of 9 consecutive wins with a brilliant display in Sunday's wet-dry-wet Dutch Grand Prix. The Red Bull driver is 138 points clear at the summit of the World Championship. And England's troubled build-up to the World Cup is reflected in a descent to 8th in the global rankings. World Rugby has confirmed that Steve Borthwick's side has fallen 2 places from 6th following their defeat by Fiji on Saturday.
Sunny with some rain around across the day today. Scotland, Northern Ireland seeing some further showers, potentially heavy and thundery. Highs up to 21 degrees Celsius.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Are you frustrated with IT issues? Let Anytech take the stress out of all your tech worries. With more people than ever now working from home, reliable technical assistance could help save your day. Mac or PC? We can help. Friendly service, free quotation, competitive rates guaranteed. Anytech, IT home and business support service covering Kent and East Sussex. Call 07745 178 665. That's 07745 178 665. Or visit our website. All the W's, anytech.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Meet Holly. She's got a job, but she's unhappy for many reasons. She doesn't earn much, her manager doesn't support her, and the job has no future. But then she found jobsinkent.com. It's Kent's largest job site with over 25 years' experience. It covers all industries and sectors and has permanent, contract and part-time positions. Want to know more? 1. Visit jobsinkent.com. 2. Search jobs by industry, location and keywords. 3. Find thousands of jobs for you. And 4. Apply direct to the employer. Now she has a better income. She feels valued by her employer. And she's building her career. So, what are you waiting for? Visit jobsinkent.com today.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Here at Loch Associates Group, people are our business. Use our Flexi Retainer against any of our employment law, HR, health and wellbeing and mediation services. All at a price that suits your business and with no long-term contracts. Use this time to recover and grow your business and let Loch Associates Group deal with your people needs. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on 100.2 FM on Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Sylph Sirkin. Hello. Who needs her roots doing?
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah. Barnes, darling.
Sorry?
Barnes.
You're going all the way to a barn to have your roots done.
I'm going to
Barnes. Been done by a vet?
Everybody's very she in Barnes.
It's been done by a vet.
Very she in Barnes, everyone. Yummy mummies.
Susie's hubby, it could do your roots.
I know, but that's also quite a long round trip for me from Whitstable, but I don't know if I'd go coastally.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Okay. Before we went to the newsroom, I was talking about the 30-30, and Zeenat Noorani of Mindset Matters has been on. She says Skills 30-30 is a great event, and I'm so disappointed that I can't do it this time round. But it's due to the fact that she's doing her Let's Talk Better 3 event, and we'll be sure to make the next one. And just in a spirit of mutual collaboration, I went to the last Let's Talk Better event, which is also a fantastic event, which is taking place in Bromley on the same day. So if you're not coming to my event, you can come to hers.
Also,
and they're at opposite ends of the county, so there's no excuse. You've got to cover one or the other.
As Zeenat is listening, a little gentle reminder that Sarah Marsh Collins has left her charger, and I left it downstairs on reception, and it's still sitting downstairs.
She hasn't been in, I guess.
No, Zeenat is supposed to pick it up, but Sarah keeps forgetting to remind her. So it's a gentle reminder. I'm reminding Zeenat because Sarah has forgotten. Sarah will get her charger back.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to nick it because it's, you know, we haven't got one in the studio anymore, have we?
No, somebody nicked ours.
Somebody did. And I was also going to say something, but I can't remember. Oh, yes. I guess last week with the Diwali event, don't forget, we're getting a little table together. If anybody's listening wants to join the table with me and Sarah Marsh Collins and Zeenat.
Right.
And possibly you. And my new husband's going to come. So do let us know. What was the date again? I can't remember. I've got it on my watch.
October the something or other.
21st, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I will be roped into Paul Barbara's Diwali Nazi event. So I can't do too many of these.
No, but the food will be that they've got an amazing gourmet two-star chef, which is why I'm going, of course. Why not?
I knew there was a reason.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look on my thing. Oh, here he is. It was Samit Jalal.
Oh, I could have told you that. I didn't realise you were looking for his name.
And it's save the date. Oh, it's gone onto Facebook. I hate blooming things. So WhatsApp, it is 29th of October, Paul Andrews.
Right.
On a Sunday at 6 p.m. till 11, and it's at Oakley House, Bromley. BR28H something or other, because I haven't got my glasses on.
Put your glasses on then.
I haven't got my glasses. I've only got my sunglasses.
Do you want to borrow mine?
Yeah, no, they wouldn't work, would they?
Right, business in Maidstone. Are you starting September with a new business venture? Join our Startup September workshop with free sessions from Maidstone experts on business planning and funding, accountancy and tax, digital, social media, plus a startup success story. It's a free workshop for Maidstone-based startups only. There is a light lunch provided, and it's taking place on Thursday the 28th of September from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And it's taking place at the Business Terrace, that's in King Street, Maidstone. If you'd like to find out more or sign up to attend that event, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you will find the details there.
I'm trying to think what Darren, PR Darren's tweet is.
In Tune PR.
In Tune, thank you very much.
I have to do everything for her. Susie, I have to do everything for
her. You've got a brain like an elephant, haven't you?
Yeah, you've got something like an elephant as well.
Flat Bottom Girls.
Yeah, no, that's banned. Fat Bottom Girls has been banned from the playlist, hasn't it?
It's
yeah.
So sad.
Yeah.
It's so sad. What else has been banned?
Oh, almost everything.
Noddy, Big Ears.
Yeah, Tunbridge Networking.
Tunbridge Network, that hasn't been banned.
No, it's not been banned. I'm just telling you about it now.
A few.
Third Thursday's Networking. Tunbridge will be hosted and sponsored by Hyalden Heights Care Home. Hyalden Heights is a brand new luxury purpose-built care home located in the rural village of Hildenborough near Tunbridge in Kent. It has 76 private ensuite rooms and state-of-the-art features and facilities. And it's open now. So Tunbridge Networking is taking place there at the Hyalden Heights Care Home. Entry is free for Seven Oaks Chamber members, and guests can join us for a paltry £15. And we hope to be raising money for our nominated charities, Tree of Hope and West Kent Mind, with the business club card draw. This event is taking place on September the 20th. Everything's happening on September the 21st, isn't it? Yeah. September the 21st, 10:30 till 12. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar for details.
And you sounded like Chaz and Dave then.
Yeah.
We have, what's this? Marsh Network. I've read that, but this is a different one. This is Base Point Folkestone Business Centre. This is a Folkestone arty one. It's at Shearway Road, Shearway Business Park in Folkestone. And your sat nav is Charlie Tango 194. R for Rolf and H for Henry, and it's on 19th of September at 7:45 to 9 a.m. That's a humdinger of a network for our listeners. And then we have a KBS Business Soundbite digital transformation. This is on the 21st of September again, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. BST. Join us, they say, for an in-person event.
I'll tell you what, we're going to be really busy that day.
I know. It's just
and
like,
guess what?
What?
I've got a parents' evening that evening as well.
Are you a parent still? Oh, well,
of course
you are.
I am.
Now. You're a new one, aren't you?
Yeah.
You started all again.
Yeah.
You've got your grandchildren, then you've got another.
Yeah, it's not Bears.
Doing it all again.
That would be a long way to go for a parents' evening, wouldn't it? Yeah. It's a Bears place in the south of France. Maybe. No, it's Lucy's open evening.
She already got one.
I beg your pardon?
She's only just started at school. Don't they normally have it like months on?
Oh, blimey. New technology and everything. You know, we get 400 emails a day from the school. Please be aware of this. Please be aware of that. Please buy your new blazer here. Please buy your new blazer there. Please buy this. Please buy this.
I had to go for a blood test for the AstraZeneca injury to my doctor's surgery. And it's ridiculous. There are signs everywhere. Don't touch radiator. It's hot. You know, it's just bonkers.
The trouble with things like that,
hot
it's like
water.
It's like in a restaurant.
Water.
In a restaurant, when they came over with your plate and they go, "Don't touch the plate, it's hot."
Yeah.
You have to touch the plate just to make sure. You have to. Yeah. It's the law.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but there are signs everywhere, like don't do careful hot water, do this, do that. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, don't drink poison.
Yeah, don't sit down for too long. And then they've also got videos telling you to eat 2 shredded wheat because it's, you know, fibre or something. It's just ridiculous.
Anyway. Enough of that. I want to talk to somebody sensible at long last.
I do.
We've been wasting an hour or so here. And it's
well, we've
now
had some lovely guests on pre news, actually.
I was thinking of you, mostly.
I was thinking about you, but yeah. There you go. I'm going to be videoing Susie, so if you're listening on the Twitter, you'll actually see some lovely photos and videos as well.
Absolutely. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Funker Show the lovely Susie K. Brooks. Susie is a professional therapist, and she's got lots of interesting things that she's going to talk to us about. So, Susie, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I can only apologise for the first part of the show. I'm really sorry about that, that you had to endure listening to her, but, you know.
I'm more worried that the new husband, her new husband, has eaten the biscuit.
Yeah, she's got the ump with that.
Yeah.
She's really got the ump with that, Susie.
Yeah, he's
Tim,
a new husband. He's quite an old husband, so I should know better, really. Yeah.
Tim, she's coming for you, mate. You should never have touched her ginger. Yeah,
but he is a hairdresser, and we all need to make friends with hairdressers, so it's a very useful contact.
Speak for yourself.
Well, yeah. Well, your side bits are okay. He could work on those.
I'll do them myself.
I noticed the Rolling Stones, who've got a combined age of about 300,000, all had dyed hair. They're all brown.
Of course they did. Yeah. And they've been. You'll probably find that they've had about 5 hair transplants as well. Anyway, I'm trying to introduce Susie, and you're interfering, be quiet. Susie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. First of all, kick off and tell us a little bit about Susie. Tell us a bit about your background and a bit of your history.
A little bit about me. Okay. Yeah. As you say, I'm a private therapist, and I'm in my 60s now, which is quite an interesting space to be in because you've got a little bit of experience of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a bit of an old codgers club here because we're all in our 60s.
We do, don't we?
But in our heads, we don't feel 60, do we?
No, it's a disco. We're going to switch the lights on and off in a minute and disco.
You realise, and I say to my kids things like disco and hit parade and, you know, all these things. But you can be 60, but you don't feel 60. You still feel 30, or, you know.
I still very, very much. But my kids won't let me go clubbing with them, and I'm gutted. I keep saying, well, why can't I come as well? And they're like, no. No. Not even a good enough reason.
But you think that I say to my kids, we actually dance properly. Yeah. Whereas when I go with them to clubs in Ibiza and that, all they do is wave their right arm up. That's all. And I say, but there's no finesse. In my day, we used to do twirls and disco, you know, proper stuff.
I'm an aficionado of Boom Radio. I don't know if you listen to Boom Radio. It's for boomers, and it's brilliant. And I was driving somewhere yesterday, and somebody came on the radio, and they went, I used to do discos at the Tudor House in Bearstead and then King Arthur's Court at Charing. Yeah, I went there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And Greenways at Westmoreland, blimey. Yeah.
Well,
at
Da Vinci's in Maidstone.
Yeah.
Upstairs at Da Vinci's.
Oh, Da Vinci's,
I wasn't allowed to dance with them recently, though, because we were on holiday in Turkey and they had one of those silent discos.
Okay.
And that's great fun because you've got all these different channels, and as you're looking around,
everybody's doing a different dance.
And everyone's doing different dances.
I've seen them. I've seen silent discos.
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So that's the first time that I, them being grown ups more, that I've actually gone dancing with my kids to silent disco.
So you can all listen to your own stuff.
Anyway, I asked Susie a question, and then we got on to disco dancing, disco biscuits
Paul's
or something.
Paul's the only one I know that wears his glasses above his eyebrows. Have you noticed, Susie?
I only need them for reading.
It's sweet, isn't it? They've gone up to the forehead.
If I've got them on and I'm not reading, I can't see a thing through them, so...
It's kind of quite intellectual.
Anyway, I'm trying to talk to Susie and keep deflecting the conversation.
I have to ask one more thing. How was Turkey?
Turkey was wonderful.
Have you been before? Wonderful.
Yes, we have.
And it's a place that you recommend and
absolutely.
Love?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, I would. Absolutely.
Bucket list. Fabulous.
Don't even get me started on that. My youngest son sent me a picture the other day. Guess where I am? I have no idea where you are, Steve. And he sent me the picture. He was at a football match. He's with a Fenerbahce Massive. Fenerbahce is an Istanbul football team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they've got quite a bad reputation.
I thought it was a different type of cheese.
And there's my Stu stood in the middle of them singing the songs in Turkish. And I go, do you even know what that you're singing? Nah. Anyway.
The match I've been to was at Hamburg SV when I was about 14, 15. And Kevin Keegan was
there. Wow, yes, Kevin. Kevin Keegan.
With the first match with them. Right. Yeah.
Do you notice, Susie, it isn't just me that goes on to different tangents in
it's,
the show.
But it's life.
It's conversation,
it's,
isn't it?
It's conversation.
Anyway, that's the end of it.
He's going to get steam coming out of his ears, isn't
he? That's the end of the show. Thank you for joining. No, anyway, so we almost got to find out something about Susie. We now know that she went to Kevin Keegan's first match for SV Hamburg. She likes a bit of disco, but let's find out a bit more. So give us a bit about your background then, Susie.
Okay. Very tricky. At the age of 25, actually, I'll start there, was when I read a book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Oh, brilliant. Oh yes.
Susan Jeffers. So amazing. I was probably about 25 years old, just after it came out. And that book made such an impression on me that... I actually can't remember much of the content anymore, just bits and pieces of it. I must read it again, actually, and refresh myself. But it was the title that really grabbed me as well, and that Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I just sort of looked at it, I thought, do you know what? That's how I want to live my life. And that's what I tried to do from there, and I hadn't realised quite how much NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, I learnt from it. And over the years I developed my own kind of personal style, because I had the kitchen that everybody arrived at with a sad face going, oh, have you just got time for a cup of tea, or can I just pop in for a cuppa, or can I just have a chat to you about this? So I ended up inadvertently doing a lot of coaching with friends and people that would drop by. And I used to live in Lewes in Maidstone. If anybody knows Lewes, my family come from there. I had a 3-bedroom house there, and so I had what you call an open house, so that people would just drop in, whether they needed to just be there for a day or overnight or a few days. People would just come for a bit of respite, really. And one, there was one guy I had to actually stay with me for 3 months.
Wow.
Gosh.
And while he was staying with me, we went down to the local pub. It's just such a great thing that happened. And there was this young woman sitting at the bar. She was obviously quite heavily pregnant. And we just looked at each other and went, come on. And over we went, surrounded her. It turned out that she was the local vicar's daughter. She'd been punched all over her body by the father of the baby. She was 8.5 months pregnant. So we took her back to the house with us. She was there with me for about another 2 months after the baby was born.
Wow.
I am the baby's godmother.
Oh. Wow.
And we are still in touch, which really, really lovely. But that, I digress.
Did you know that, though, from when you saw her at the bar that she was... did you approach her for that reason, that you knew she'd been attacked?
You just kind of know.
You could see the vulnerability.
You can. You can always see that in people, by the way that they're sitting, by the way that they're holding themselves physically, and just by the look on her face. And because her dad was the vicar, she didn't dare go home.
Right.
Which was ridiculous, because it was just down the road.
Right.
But we did. We took her home. We sorted her out. Yes.
Wow.
So,
it's strange, isn't it, how people can react to things. But that brings you back to Susan Jeffers and Feel the Fear Anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so many things in life we don't do because we fear the consequences.
Of it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Never fear the consequences. Yeah.
Or rejection, you try and...
But it's absolutely... It's just in business as well. You know, people say to me, but why did you do that without really planning it? Well, because if I'd have sat there planning it for months on end, I would probably never have done it. Now I've done it, and I'm going to not do it or whatever.
But it's the fear of the unknown. A lot of us have a certain amount of fear of the unknown future, which is absolutely ridiculous because we have no idea what's going to happen from one day to the next. And 9 times out of 10, what it is that we fear about the future just doesn't happen anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest lessons you learn as you go through life. Is all the things you fatalise
or catastrophise
about.
Future catastrophising.
Yeah, and then when it doesn't happen, you go, oh, thank goodness for that. But you never turn around and go, well, hold on a minute, I just wasted 2 months of my life worrying about something that never happened.
It's such a waste of time, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely.
We could be doing so much better. Yeah. We could be sitting here having a chat on a radio station.
Absolutely, yeah. Anyway, so I interrupted you, which is appalling.
Eating chocolate biscuits with ginger.
So you were collecting waifs and strays and housing them in Lewes.
And put them up in Lewes and sort of put them back to together again and then threw them back out onto the street again. But that's kind of like how a lot of things started for me. And I started reading a lot more books and following a lot more about NLP and coaching and therapy as well. And I'd had an interesting, not great childhood. My parents were divorced by the time I was three, when and in the early 1960s.
That's very young.
And in quite the early unusual 1960s, I was, you know, like the only kid in school whose parents were were divorced. And that.
Sorry to interrupt. I've got to tell you this because it shows you how society has changed radically.
Yeah. Now you get the kid that's the only one whose parents aren't divorced.
Exactly. How many, when I got divorced and I told my youngest, who was 10 years old at the time, he went, "Thank God for that. It was embarrassing. You were the only parents that were still together."
Yeah, my husband and I are still at the moment with our kids still very much together and very much the odd ones out.
It's unusual. Yeah.
There are, I notice so many now single mothers around that, you know, when my son, the youngest, was growing up, nearly all single parents. And I think to be a single mum must be the hardest job ever.
Well, being a parent is the hardest job ever.
But if you're on your own doing it, all the school runs and football practice and swimming practice, exhausting, absolutely exhausting.
And the loneliness that goes with it as well.
Yeah.
Is it,
So, you've started to read and learn and train and develop your skills.
Yeah, and I realised just how damaged I'd been by things that had happened to me in my past, and I started pursuing real therapy for it. So I went off and saw a number of different therapists in and around Kent.
What kind of therapy did you try?
Oh gosh, a little bit of counselling, but I'd been in counselling slightly on and off since I was in my early 20s, to be honest with you, but nothing that I did for a long period of time, but sort of dipped in and out, going, right, I've got this issue coming up, so I need to do something to resolve that. So therapy was something that I was very aware of. And then we had a little bit of a happening at home. My daughter was just a very, very early into her teenage years, and there was something very wrong with her. She was very listless. She wasn't getting dressed properly. She was going around in a dressing gown all the time. She didn't really have an appetite. She wasn't finding any joy in anything. And we were sitting in the kitchen. She was up on the windowsill on the deep ledge, and she sent me a text message, and that actually broke my heart. Because the message that you can, sorry about that, it still makes me feel quite emotional. The message said, "Look, I'm really sorry, Mummy. I know that I have this great life, and I know how much you and Dad love me, and I should be really, really happy, and I'm not, and I don't know what's wrong with me, and I think I need some help."
Gosh, how old was she?
She was just sort of 12, 13 years old.
Wow.
That takes some... A huge amount of self-awareness and courage to actually raise that and to say that.
Okay. Well, we'd always been a very open, sharing family. Sure. From the age that the children were old enough, we always have dinner at home. We still do as a family. Mm. We sit down round the table at home and eat dinner together every night that we can. No phones allowed. And it's just built up this great family unit where we communicate well. And I thank, you know, thank goodness that we did that, because otherwise she may never have had the courage, even though it was a text message, she may never have had the courage to send that text message. Anyway, being the, you know, the mother lioness as we are, I had her in the, we had an appointment with the GP at 9:30 the following morning, straight in there. And we had a fantastic GP at the time, a lady called Dr. Sarah Butler-Galley, who is still fairly local to us.
I know her, yeah.
Do you know her?
I do indeed.
Oh, well, then you'll appreciate this. So we started working together. We'd have a double appointment. Sophie would go in, I would go in, and then we'd go in together. And we'd been doing this for a few weeks, and Sarah said to me, "I'd like you to make an appointment to just come and see me for I want to talk to you about something." And you're like, oh my God. Something terrible is going to happen. Future catastrophizing all over again. And I went in to see her, and she said, right, she said, "I want you to do something for me." I went, okay. When your GP asks you to do something, you're a little bit wary about it. And she said, "There is something about you." And she said, "We need people like you, and I want you, please, will you go and train properly.
Wow,
as a therapist.
What a GP.
So when your GP tells you to go and do something like that,
you do as you're told.
Yeah. So that's
incredible.
Exactly what I did. So I started doing a lot of research into all kinds of different therapies, and I thought, I don't really want to be a counsellor because I don't want to just sit and ask people a few questions and then just listen to them. I want to be able to actually do something. So I came across a lovely couple, Toby and Kate, who are very, very high level trainers in neurolinguistic programming, NLP. So I signed up for their course, and while I'm sitting there at my first introductory weekend, I'm going, but I know this, but I know this, but I know this. And that wasn't being arrogant, it was because all the reading I'd done and all the kind of like self-help and all those kinds of awareness books and things that I'd come across and researched into myself. So I qualified as a NLP practitioner, and then I went on to do my NLP master's. So I'm actually an NLP master. And at the same time, they were also running with a lovely guy called Steve Adams, hypnotherapy course. Right. So I thought, well, do you know what? I don't really know very much about hypnotherapy, but my understanding is that it's awesome. It's been around a while, since 377 BC, which is no mean feat, really. And so I went on this hypnotherapy course with a bucket load of skepticism and a whole load of fascination as well, because we'd all seen it on the telly.
Yeah.
And it's nothing like you see it on the telly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And so I've qualified as a hypnotherapist. And with hypnotherapy, trust me, people out there, if you've ever been to a hypnotherapist and you don't know if you went under or not, you didn't. There are only about... Some people actually can't be hypnotized because they have what we call a gatekeeper. And if you have a very strong gatekeeper, you will not allow yourself to relax enough. But when you can, and when you're actually in that place, it is the most extraordinary experience. And that's where we talk to the subconscious and can make some very, very amazing changes with people for habits and behaviors and fears and phobias. And it's the best thing, just really the best thing for that. A bit like talking about having a massage, it takes you into a very lovely, relaxed state. So having done the hypnotherapy and the NLP, I also did a coaching course, which again for me was fascinating, and I realized that actually over the years I'd been doing that with people anyway. So this was something that I absolutely adored doing. Interestingly, on the way here, I was listening to a different radio station. Sorry. And they were talking about hobbies and how people who are the happiest people, these immense studies have been done, the happiest people in the world are people who have hobbies. Because they get such amount of pleasure and joy and relaxation from them. And I was sitting there thinking, gosh, do you know, what is my hobby? I don't really have a hobby. And then I actually realized that what I do for a living now is my hobby.
Right.
It's your passion.
It is my passion. And if you talk to me, you'll understand I do feel so passionately about it. And I just love what I do. And it's so important. And so from then on, I sort of carried on and went into private practice. So I've got my own business. I'm in Sutton Valence. I've got a beautiful garden room that's very relaxing, very calming, that overlooks the Weald of Kent. So for people who have suffered serious abuse, and I've worked with women who have been raped, ex-soldiers, ex-police people, paramedics, childhood sexual abuse survivors. Did you know that it takes an average of 24 years for somebody to admit and start talking about the fact that they've been sexually abused as a child?
I didn't know that. I mean, you hear so many stories now, and you hear so many stories, especially abused children, that think it was their fault.
And it's prolific. It really is. And it's usually family members or close family friends. And it's just tragic.
For those of us looking at it from the other perspective, we go, why don't you tell someone? But of course, that's ridiculous. That's like telling someone that thinks they're guilty of something to tell everybody. But there's no way they would do that. So,
and parents don't believe them.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Whilst it's a shocking it's also, you know, you understand why that is the case as well. Mm. Yeah. 24 years.
24 years, an wow. average of 24 years to talk wow. about it.
Okay.
I've also now qualified in two other therapies, one which is IEMT, Integral Eye Movement Therapy, which is very specific for trauma.
Right.
It takes the best parts of something called EMDR that you can get on the National Health Service, but sadly there is a 2-year waiting list for it. But with IEMT, we actually reprocess traumas back through the brain, and it is very, very effective. It works for most people most of the time. There are some people, like with every therapy, it's not suitable for. Mm. But with IEMT, I've found with my clients personally, it's been very effective right. for them.
Mm.
And being able to help people to put trauma in their past,
mm.
and we're talking about, I've worked with some very, very damaged people, has been one of the most extraordinary gifts that I've been given to do with my life.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel very, very lucky and privileged to be able to do this with people.
I would say it's a very intense and effective treatment, having had counselling myself, which for counselling, I just chat and I almost just do the thing. It doesn't help me, counselling, because I sort of become a comedian during it and act up.
It's probably because you don't let the other one get a word in edgewise.
I do, but I play up to them.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But this therapy is so powerful, amazing.
Well, the eye movement therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
When we were off air, Susie was showing us brain scans of before and after these kind of treatments, which are really fascinating.
Mm. From Denmark, weren't they, you said, I think?
Danish? Yes, they're from the Brain Centre in Denmark,
right.
And they're just something we have had recently. So if anybody's interested in finding out more about it, if you go to my website, susiekbrooks.co.uk, under IEMT, those slides are actually on that page on my website.
Excellent.
So that's what we have for people who, what was that thing that made you be this way? This is for trauma. And it's also, we also do a lot of identity work, because therapy and what happens to us isn't just about how we feel. It's about who we are.
Mm.
And making sure that we understand and live to our identities, and that the identity that we are carrying around with us is appropriate. Because if you say to people, really think about it, what is your identity? Most people will say things like, oh, I'm stupid. Oh, I'm really clumsy. Oh, I'm useless. Oh, I'm no good. We tend to default negative, which is not a very good default position for humanity to put itself into. But what we do is work with those negative memories when those memories were set in motion. And it's usually come from a teacher or a parent or an aunt or an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And we change people's identities with them and bring their identity up to their own age and who and what they really are. Now, there's another therapy that I practice, which is, again, very few and far between, but very powerful, called Metaphors of Movement. And this is for people who are stuck. Quite often people say, oh, God, I'm really stuck. I don't know which way to turn.
Mm.
I don't know what to do. I feel as if I'm stuck in a rut. I'm in a hole. I feel as if I'm on a planet and I haven't got any air to breathe. I'm on the edge of a cliff and I feel as if I'm going to fall over. All these kind of metaphors that we have of our life are things that we've come to a sort of standstill with. Mm-hmm. And using Metaphors of Movement, which was developed by Andrew T. Austin, is extraordinary. It really is an extraordinary thing. And I can't describe it on radio, and it's even harder sometimes to describe it to people face to face, because it's one of those therapies that you can't describe it, you have to experience it.
Yeah, okay.
And we can work with people working out through the metaphors of their childhood and the metaphor of where they are now. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm.
I'm stuck in a walled garden. You know, this guy, I'm buried underwater. Or I'm on a desert island. And if anybody, again, would like to know more about that, please, please do get in touch with me, because it helps people to be able to find a way forward.
Right.
The right way for them. Find the things that are left for them.
So are you doing that through movement from the sound of it, because it sounds like you're making them.
It's not a physical. You don't do it standing up and walking around a room, right. Even though I suppose it implies that. Mm. What we do is you close your eyes and I ask you to be in your metaphor. And the first
thing it's a visualization.
It's a visualization. Okay. So you visualize what's to your left, to your right, above, below, behind and in front and so on. And then we go back into it again and then move again ourselves in our imaginations, in our heads, move round in that metaphor and explore it to find out what changes, what's different if you move in different directions. Right. It is quite extraordinary. So I sit there as the therapist and I draw what's going on around that person, and then we sit down, look at it together, and apply idioms as well to it, because the brain has two sides. We've got the logic and the creative. And they don't communicate very well together because the brain is in two halves, as well as being very different. So they speak different languages. And when you're confused about something, then you can't see a way forward because these two sides of your brain aren't communicating properly and helping you in any way. But they both understand metaphor and idiom. And so when you're doing this metaphors of movement with people, unsticking them, getting them out of that rut, out of that hole, or off that planet or whatever, again, it is the most extraordinary thing and the most extraordinary therapy. So with metaphors of movement and integral eye movement therapy, we have Andrew T. Austin in this country to thank for it.
And so, Susie, with their visualization, do you walk them through escaping from that walled garden?
No, we do the movements within it, find out how that's different and what changes, and then we both look at the picture as I've drawn it out. Please bear with me because I'm not the greatest artist in the world and I have to do it very, very quickly, but I do my best. But yes, and from there we have a look at it together and apply the idioms to it. And it's like a bingo moment for a lot of people. All of a sudden they go, oh my God. Oh wow, I can, gosh.
Yeah. Enlightenment.
It, almost like that, yes. Mm. I had a client that I'd worked with. He'd been suicidal. He tried to commit suicide 3 times. And he came back to see me about 4 years later. And he said, I'm about to retire and I'm stuck and I need your help. So we did the metaphors of movement. And when I showed him, after just doing the first drawing of it, showed it to him, he held it up and he just looked at me. Mm. And he said, Susie, I knew I needed to come and see you. You are brilliant. And it just made everything clear for him, and he could see what he needed to do to get him out of this rut that he was in. And so the results from that again are quite extraordinary. And again, sadly, there are very, very few of us that do it, but that's why people will, on recommendation or coming across my website, travel quite a long way to come and see me.
Why do you think, Susie, that there is such a lack of this kind of technique? Because is it that the people don't want to study, or the awareness of this technique, or your technique?
I think a lot of it is awareness. It's also that we are trying to get recognised by the authorities on it, as it were. So in this country, very sadly, most people just think, I need to see a therapist, I need to see a counsellor. Mm. And there is so much more out there than just counselling. Counselling works very well for some people, but it doesn't work as well usually for victims of trauma, people who are stuck, and all the kind of stuff that these other therapies genuinely help people with. Yeah.
Sarah Marsh Collins has helpfully tweeted. She says, look, this is Susie's therapy garden room.
Yes, it looks beautiful.
It looks fantastic. And there's a Vimeo link which you can get to view it and in even more glory. So do follow Sarah Marsh Collins and have a look at that.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Susie, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We could talk about it forever, but sadly we're running out of time.
You're right, I could talk about it forever.
And we would love to listen to it forever as well.
Bow off the radio, Grace.
Yeah, sadly we're running out of time and we've got some other things to do. But we'll have to get you back to continue the conversation because it is a fantastic conversation.
Thank you.
And very... very important conversation as well.
I'd love to come back if you'll have me.
You know, it's one of those odd things, isn't it? The more that society develops, the more
stressful we seem to become. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because technology is a pain in the bum, isn't it? I mean, you can't move without something going wrong these days.
Yeah. And we get contacted by WhatsApp, Facebook, email,
exactly,
text,
yeah,
phone.
So you can't escape from the barrage of communication, and that leads
to, and you've got no Wi-Fi, and then it's always a boot.
yeah. But then everybody tells you off because you didn't reply to anything. So yeah, life can be very stressful these days, and therefore, the more therapists we have to help us cope with that, the better things will be. So, Susie, thank you for sharing that. Susie K. Brooks, susiekbrooks.co.uk website.
Yeah.
Check it out. Have a look. She's got lots of lovely things on there to help you. For the moment, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
Cool. We've got one more interview to play in a moment. I want to catch up with some of the other stuff that we need to do. She's having a...
We had a...
neck in a bottle or something. Is there vodka in that?
Yes. We had a tweet from Mark Dennis, who is a business development manager at Supreme Carpet Cleaning South East Limited. You can find them on supremecarpetcleaningse.co.uk. He's a new follower, and he says, I'm really enjoying listening to Susie Brooks. So thank you for that, Mark. And also Lisa M. Settle, also listening in. Hello to you, my lovely, back from Cornwall and Devon.
She said jam, cream, it doesn't matter, as long as you have both.
Yeah, I was asking her, because of course she was in the two counties. And she says, that's a terribly long time to hold all that emotion and trauma inside, using hashtag abuse, be bunker. It makes me want to cry.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. There's a Southeast Property Expo. Join us bright and early for a free breakfast before the Southeast Property Expo, the region's largest property event at the Bat and Ball Centre in Sevenoaks. It starts at 8:30 a.m. for breakfast. This is your opportunity to network with all the exhibitors, speakers and experts participating in the day's event. It's taking place on September the 19th, and you can find out all about it and book your place on the Southeast Property Expo by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. Have you just...
I've read all my tweets.
Have you?
Yeah, but I've got a little thing here.
Well, I've got an interview to play.
Yeah.
I'm going to play that in a moment because I haven't read all my tweets or emails. The Kent Invicta Chamber have an event on the 12th of September. That's today, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it the 12th today?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yes, well, you missed it then.
Yeah.
It was at lunchtime today, so we won't do that. You haven't got anything else to talk about, have you?
I have. I've got some a few tweets. I said I hadn't got any tweets, but I've got some things.
Lied, didn't you?
There's a Kent BizFest. Email did not reach my lips. This is a one-of-a-kind business event in the heart of Kent. It's starting with workshops and masterclasses, and this event ends in a festival with live music, independent food providers, and a bar for an amazing, relaxed networking environment. It's all completely free. It's at Coachworks in Ashford. It's September the 13th. What is today? We said the 12th. That's mañana.
Yeah.
Mañana, Paul Andrews. It's 4 o'clock until 9 p.m. Kent Biz Fest. Coachworks, Ashford. Go.
It's the 12th today. What day is that on?
Mañana. It's the 13th.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Mañana.
Yeah.
Even I know that.
Yeah, cool. We're going to hear the last of our interviews today from the Women in Business Big Show with Laura Lawrence. This is a lady called Ingrid Tolosi, and Ingrid is an ASEA health specialist.
And ASEA?
ASEA.
How do you spell that? A-Z-E-A?
A-S-E-A.
Oh, I need to Google that.
You missed one.
I need to Google it.
Yeah, there's a medicine she hasn't had.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's hear from Ingrid.
Okay, I'm still in the exhibitor hall, working my way feverishly around everybody. We've got so many brilliant people here today. And I am now with Ingrid Tolosi, who's sitting in front of this amazing product, which I really want to find out more about. So, Ingrid, can you tell everybody what it is, the product that you have here with you today?
Thank you. Well, this is a new advanced health technology. And the product itself is redox signaling molecules. This is a native to the body signaling supplement. And redox signaling molecules created by the mitochondria in the body, and they are responsible for cellular communications to detect the bad cells, repair them, or replace them with new cells. The science figured out how to recreate these molecules outside the human body. They spent 20 years to stabilize them, and now we can replenish them and put them back into bodies as these molecules decreases in the body over time. And because we don't have as much as we age, we get the aging signs, the aches and pains, and other diseases. So these molecules are the inner doctors, and it gives a tool to the body to heal itself as it should.
And when did you come across this product? So how did you get so heavily involved in what you're doing now with this?
Well, 2 years ago, a doctor introduced me to this product. First, I didn't really pay attention because I thought that she sells skincare, because I saw a before and after picture of a lady whose skin got much better over time. But I thought, I'm not really a skincare lady. But then we booked the one-to-one, and then she explained to me what it is, and I thought that I want to try out, because I had underactive thyroid when my son was born 8 years ago, and I was on medication, and today I'm off medication. And on top of this, my hay fever has gone and my food allergy improved, so that was a plus.
So it's rather than just being a product that's good for the skin, it's actually what it's doing inside your body is where you can't really sort of, you can't see the results, you can only feel the results that you get.
Yes, I didn't have a wow effect when I started to drink it. I went to my regular blood test, and I find out after my following blood test that actually my body improved, and instead of underactive thyroid, I had overactive thyroid, because this technology helped my thyroid to produce the hormones, but I still had the medication on the top, so the doctor had to reduce my medication.
And so it's one thing to go from actually using a product because you feel that the benefits that it has, and now you're here as a, you know, representing the product, selling it, making raising awareness of it around more people. What sort of compelled you to just go from a user of the product to, you know, doing this now, going to exhibitions? You said you found out about the show at A Lady's Latte. So what made you sort of make that leap from just being a user to being, you know, an advocate for the product?
Well, the doctor who shared the product with me, she also shared a link with video testimonials where people honestly tell their stories who've been using this product. And there are more than 100 testimonials, and I really cried on some of them, and I just keep watching them. And obviously it helped me. And then I straight away I thought about my partner who has issues. Then I thought about my parents who have issues too. And I just kept thinking of people who I could help, and I fell in love with the product.
I think that's brilliant. And I think it's once you discover that inner passion about something, then that's what makes it possible to then move forward, having the confidence because you believe in the product. And how long have you been doing this for?
Well, officially, I've been doing this since last November. I was a portrait photographer. The lockdown helped me to close my studio. But also, I have more passion to do this than the photography. So I decided it was a good time to change career.
Brilliant. Well, Ingrid, thank you so much for your time today. And if anyone wants to find out more about this, or make an order, or speak to you about perhaps how it can benefit them, what's the best way for people to get in touch if they're listening to this interview on the radio?
Well, the best is to go on the Facebook, find me, Ingrid Taloshi, and then you can find the links there to my Facebook group or to my Linktree profile or even Instagram. Or or if you are here in the event, just come and grab a QR code.
That's brilliant, Ingrid. Thank you so much for your time today and enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Thank you.
So that was Ingrid Taloshi there.
Where she's from? She sounded Scandi, do you think? Ingrid is often a.
Ingrid, if I get this wrong, I apologise now. I think she's either from Latvia or Lithuania or somewhere like that.
Okay.
From a Baltic country, I think. Have you got anything else you need to read?
There's a Kent and Medway Business Summit, which is this is a diary date. This is after Christmas. I said the C word, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
12th of January 2024, bringing together business, academia and strategic partners. You can be part of the conversation. Please book early to secure your tickets. Obviously, it will be on Kent Business Radio after the show. You can receive £10 off the ticket price if you purchase before the end of September. So there's an incentive.
Yeah, so that's the annual Kent and Medway Business Summit on the campus of the University of Kent at the Kent Business School in January. Krista Cloutier has been actively involved in the contemporary art world for many years throughout her career and is the founder of the Working Artist Masterclass, an online business academy for visual artists. She's now organising a workshop scheduled to be held at the Margate School on the 16th of September. And without hesitation, we wholeheartedly recommend participation in this event. The details are, you're a creative person who suffers from overwhelm. Do you have too many ideas that never get finished? Are you stopped by a lack of confidence? Then this workshop is for you. If you want to find out more about it, if you go to kentcreative.co.uk, you can find all the details there.
Brilliant. And we have a coffee morning at Kenwood. It's a monthly coffee morning. It's the last Thursday of each month. Cakes and savouries are available. And the next one, of course, is the 28th of September. It's 10:30 to 3 p.m. They say there's no need to book. You can just roll up. And it's at the Cafe Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road. That's WARD, the Kenwood. Yalding, ME18 6AH.
And the proceeds from that go to the charity Kenwood Trust, of which I'm proud to be a trustee. It's a residential charity for people with drink and drug addictions, and we need loads of dosh because it's blooming expensive.
Of course. There's a KBS Business Soundbite, Digital Transformation. It's the 21st of September, 5 o'clock to 6:30 BST. And they say, join us for this in-person event in Canterbury to learn from Kent Business School's leading academic, Dr. Maria Balter, on how digital technologies can lead to enhanced competitiveness, productivity and performance. And there's a full agenda. And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put a little /, and go onto the calendar.
Fantastic. Shall we finish on some good news for a change?
I love good news.
Yeah. The UK has overtaken France in terms of world manufacturing.
I saw that. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. So many people keep telling me that we don't make anything anymore, and I keep getting really angry about it on Twitter because they just don't know what they're talking about. Well, we're now eighth. We're the world's eighth largest manufacturer. We've overtaken France. I'm sure France will catch up. So the UK manufacturing sector is going from strength to strength. And also, I want to tell you this. Almost 500,000 new startups have already been launched this year, 2023, and registered with Companies House, new figures show, suggesting that the cost of living crisis hasn't diminished entrepreneurship in the UK. 463,700 businesses were registered between January and mid-July, so it's only in 6 months.
Excellent.
Yeah, according to the latest figures available from small business support platform and membership organisation Enterprise Nation. 784,762, that's 750,000 businesses were registered at Companies House in 2022, and that was 30,000 more than 2021 and 114,000 more than it was recorded annually before the pandemic. And in 2019, 670,000. So that's a lot of new businesses. Obviously, we've lost quite a few as well. But it's good that we continue to develop new businesses, small businesses, yeah, and grow and grow and grow. Yeah.
And keep supporting your local shops in your high street. Mm. Use cash if you can. And just keep going to your small businesses.
Small businesses are the lifeblood. People don't realise there are 5.9 million businesses in the United Kingdom. And 5.875 of them are small businesses.
Yeah.
There are only 2,000 large businesses in the UK.
I know. We're very lucky where I live in Whitstable that we've got some lovely small shops. But then we'll get visitors and you'll see them walking on the beach with Costa Coffee. But they come to Whitstable because they love all the indie shops. And we've got some great cafes that do homemade cakes.
We've got great cafes.
You have?
Yeah, we had a craft fair in Sheerness on Saturday. That was our first one. It went really well. We had 250 visitors.
Excellent. Yeah. Was John Nerd there?
I don't know if John popped in. I didn't see him. Oh. He may well have done. Yeah, you know, sure, what he's like. He swans around the sun-kissed Isle of Sheppey.
He's the king of Sheppey, isn't he?
Absolutely, he is. Well, we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our guests. Julian Barnes, the chair of the Kent Agricultural Society. To our interviews, Kate and Ingrid from the Women in Business Big Show. And to the fantastic Susie K. Brooks. Thank you all very much for participating in today's show. My stonkingly gorgeous co-host Jill Sirkin, who's now away on 2 weeks holiday again.
Well, get my roots
again,
roots done,
which is why she's having a